All things are possible, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you are here. Believing, Father, that you came down with a very purpose in this hour to reveal yourself, for you are the only true God. And as your prophet said, my ministry is to declare him. That he is here, we know that he came to declare truth. And Father, we see that there is no truth outside of you and your word. And the whole world lies in darkness, for gross darkness is upon the earth. But Father, in thy light is light, and we walk in the light as you are in the light, bringing us into fellowship one with another, and knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. Be with us, and Father, as we would partake of this heavenly manna which was given to us by your vindicated prophet, knowing that you gave it to him first, and then he broke it down and gave it to us. And so, Father, as we break the bread of life this morning, we ask that your presence would be with us, and that you would guide us into all truth, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we will again review the masterpiece spoken by Brother Branham, July 5th of 1964. And we'll begin reading from paragraph 200. From the masterpiece, he said, O Church of the Living God, bow your hearts and yourselves before God. These things are true. I know that it sounds like that is such a great thing as it would be, that would be so spread out over the nations, but it never was. He doesn't change his way. So just be thankful, church. Be thankful that you are where you are today if you're in Christ. Because you see now, and when that, remember, all that life will be gathered right into the grain of the resurrection. But the stalk must be burned, the rest of it. The husk and all must be destroyed, and it will be. Don't trust in them denominations. You stay in the Word, the life. God and His masterpiece. Then, what is it in the millennium? Christ and His bride. Back in the garden of the millennium. Amen. Now, this morning, I would like to examine these thoughts that Brother Branham is speaking to us here in paragraph 200, where he says, O Church of the Living God, bow your hearts and yourselves before God, for these things are true. Now, there's many a sermon going forth throughout the world today that is not true. There are many falsehoods being taught, Trinitarian doctrines, oneness doctrines, which are false. But we have a vindicated prophet in this hour, who is a pure reflector of the light of God, the Shekinah. We saw that reflection above his head, the Shekinah presence of God. Now, the statement that Brother Branham says these things are true, that may not sound like a very significant statement. But you see, God has come down in this hour to vindicate that His message is true. And the things that have been presented to us in this sermon are true. And the message that William Branham has delivered to us, or to the people of this hour, is true. For God is the only true God. And Jesus Christ is His Son. And if He said, my ministry is to declare Him, the true God, that He is here, then the declaration of the only true God is a declaration of the doctrine of Christ, and that is the only true God. And He is here. Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. I believe He's still here leading. As I just said, these words have signification because there is only one truth and one God who is that truth. Jesus, the Son of God, taught us that God is the only true God, as we see in John chapter 18 and verse 37. If you have your Bibles, you can read with me. Jesus said, "To this end was I born, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now remember the word "of," I believe it's an acronym. You see, the word "of" shows possession. It shows source. If I say that is of Enoch, that belongs to Enoch. It's of Enoch. Then if we have the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit out from God. O-F, out from. And so He says, everyone that is of the truth, out from the truth, heareth my voice. Jesus is saying that His very purpose in life was to bear witness to the truth. And He made a statement that only the elect will believe that truth, when He said, everyone that is of the truth will hear His voice. So we have a fact, we have a statement, that the whole purpose of Jesus Christ was to bear witness to the truth. And we know that God is the only truth there is, and that's who He was bearing witness to. He said, "I don't do these things, my Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. The Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto." Now Jesus teaches us that God is the only truth, as we see in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10. "But the Lord is a true God, and He is a living God, and He is an everlasting King." So the God that we serve is the only true God. And He's the living God. And He's the everlasting God. So when Jesus says that He was sent to bear witness to the truth, and we know there is only one source of truth, and that must come from the one God who is true, then we must ask ourselves, how did Jesus bear witness to the truth? And the answer is that Jesus only said what God told Him to say, and God backed up what He had to say. In John chapter 12, verse 49, we read, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." John 12, 49. "The things that I teach you," He says, "God commanded me what to say, and that's what I speak." In verse 50, He says, "And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." You know, I think it's interesting that God came, He spoke to a prophet. The prophet then took those words, "Thus saith the Lord," and He spoke to a people. So He was only saying what the Father told Him to say, no different than Jesus saying what the Father said. And no different than Brother Branham said, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, she'll have what the Lord has already said, thus, or she will keep still. And in His prayer in John chapter 17, in verse 3, He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." And in His prayer to the Father, Jesus said, Webster's defines truth as truth is a statement that has been proven to be true. Now you might have an opinion, I might have an opinion, but doesn't necessarily mean because you have it and I have it that it's true. Truth is a statement that has been proven to be true. What does the word "proven" tell us? It speaks of vindication. Truth is vindicated. So when Brother Branham says in his opening statement, these things are true, he's saying these things are vindicated. Truth is a statement that has been proven to be true. And how much more can it be proven to be true than when a man tells us that he is sent by God, and he tells us what God told him to say, and then God Himself comes behind that man to vindicate what that man is saying is, thus saith the Lord. That's why I, for the life of me, when I hear these Pentecostals on their little videos and they talk about Brother Branham, they say, well, you know, the man, when he prophesied in the name of the Lord, he is perfect. 10,000 times 10,000, just perfect all the way down. But when he got out of his calling and tried to teach, oh my. They just don't get it. Brother Branham said, everybody wants the sign, but nobody wants the voice of the sign. And the voice of the sign is the doctrine. And they couldn't take the doctrine. That's why Jesus said, if you don't believe me, then at least believe the works that I do. The works which no man can do. In other words, look, you might have had a hard time believing what I'm telling you is the truth. But to back up what I'm saying, watch what God Himself is doing. Because you know that no man can do these things except the Father be with him, except God be with him. And that is the vindication that was indeed that God has sent me. Jesus Himself said in John 5:36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent me. The works are the vindication because no man can do those works. So Jesus is telling us that the works are what vindicates that He was sent from God. Because the works that He was doing, no other man could do. And then in the next verse, He tells us that the presence of God is also there to back up what He's saying. Verse 37. And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not seen, and ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, Him you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from man, but I know that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Well, if another comes in his own name, him you receive. How can you believe which honor or receive honor one from another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that already accuses you, even Moses, whom you say that you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. For if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You know, when I was in Uganda, I told the ministers in Kampala meeting the very same thing. I said, why do you hang around this message? Why do you claim William Branham to be your prophet when you're not teaching what he taught? I said, William Branham is no more your prophet than the Pope, than Peter was the first Pope, although the Catholic Church claims Peter was the first Pope. But he was no more their Pope than William Branham is their messenger or their prophet. Jesus says, why don't you believe me? He says, you believe Moses, and Moses spoke of me. Well, some of them didn't like it so much, what I said to them. And so they just sat there and they gnashed their teeth and thought of ways that they could derail our meetings. But God was at my side and guided my tongue and exposed their unbelief and tradition, their beliefs and tradition that was blinding their minds. In 2 Chronicles verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 3, we read, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And minister after minister have come to me after these meetings. And they've told me my only regret about these meetings is that we didn't have these meetings 20 years ago. For had we had these meetings 20 years ago, we would not have been preaching false doctrine for 20 years. Now, I do not say this to be puffed up, but I say this that you might know that I don't go running around the world to be seen. And I don't go around the world to make a name for myself. I go because my Father sent me. Most of you know the story several years ago when I told the brothers outside the church that there's no two places in the world I would never go. Asia and Africa, and that's what God opened the doors. And when I truly was rebuked by the Lord in my soul, my spirit, I humbled down. I said, Father, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. In my very first trip to one of those countries I never wanted to visit, I got African sleeping sickness. And it's deathly. And God just hammered and hammered and hammered until you realize it doesn't matter where you are, where you preach. It matters just being in the will of God. You go where God leads you to go. You say what God tells you to say. It doesn't matter what kind of a kingdom you've got, because there's only one kingdom I'm interested in, and that's the kingdom of God. One minister came to me after the meetings, right after, before I was to go to the airport to leave Uganda, and he said, why do you come and stir up the people? And I said, are the people being stirred up? And he said, yes, they are. All over the country, everywhere, they're being stirred up by your visit. And I said, well, that's good. I'm glad. And he said, are you happy about that, that you stirred up the people? You proud of it? I said, no, not proud. But I said, if God did not send me, then the people would not have been stirred. And had I come and preached and the people weren't stirred, then God didn't send me. Because my Bible tells me that everywhere Paul went, everywhere Jesus went, there was no small stir. Then I said, do you believe everything that Brother Branham said and this Bible teaches? And he said, yes, I do. Then I said, why are you having such a hard time with what I taught when I gave you hundreds of scriptures and quotes from Brother Branham and the scripture showing you what Brother Branham taught? And he said, well, I believe what they say, but I don't believe it the way that you quoted it. And I said, what don't you believe? I said, do you believe when Brother Branham said that the body was not deity? Do you believe the body is not deity? He said, no, I disagree with that. I don't believe the body was deity. I said, then you don't believe Brother Branham. Why do you claim him for your prophet? You see, let's pick and choose. Let's pick and choose. The brothers in Peru told me that a couple of ministers from Trinidad went down there and stirred up the other ministers against them. There's four ministers that get together and they study the teachings. And they stirred up a hornet's nest against them, even to the point where they all agreed that they wouldn't use the quotes that we use. The hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of quotes of Brother Branham's, they won't touch them. Now, it seems to me one word off is Satan's kingdom. Seems to me if you add two, you got the tribulation, but if you take away, there's no life. You don't have the Holy Ghost at all. Then what are they doing preaching in pulpits? You see, these men only feed themselves, but they refuse to feed the flock of God with the words of God. So they hold down the truth in unrighteousness, which is unright wiseness. And God rebuked this form of shepherds in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. In verse 1 we read, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be the shepherds of Israel, who do feed themselves. Got a lot of fat preachers in the message. I might be a little overweight, but I'm not fat. I still don't have a roll that goes over my belt. But I'm working on it. I mean, the other way, I'm going to try to get... Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Didn't Jesus say he that's greatest of all should be servant of all? Didn't he say that I came not to rule but to serve? Shouldn't the ministry of a pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever, be to serve the people? Not sending capes only where you know there's money, but send them where you know there isn't money. Go to them that can't pay your way. Bring the gospel to every nation. But ye have sought that which was... neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. In other words, they were opened up to every ungodly doctrine out there because they had no head and no shepherd. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And yet when God puts it upon a man's heart to seek and to save, he's criticized for running. They say he wants to make a name for himself. Let me tell you something. There's only one name that I'm interested in, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which the whole host of family, the whole family of heaven, will be named. As far as I'm interested, we have one older brother, one elder brother, eldest brother, and that is Jesus. Brother Branham is an older brother, but he's not the eldest in the vast family, brethren. Brother Vail is an older brother, but he's not the eldest in the vast family, brethren. People are fickle, you know that. Anybody that has got any age to them knows that. And so we don't seek to please man, but we seek to please God. My sheep have wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves. And they fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flocks at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. You realize that every penny we will have to give an account for, and every idle word at the day of judgment. Men who have made vast kingdoms, vast wealth off the message. I'm not talking about a little bit tucked away for retirement. I'm talking about men who have churches of 500 to 1,000 and aren't putting it back into the fields. Men who have multiple millionaires in their churches and are tucking away their little nest egg, not little, but millions of dollars. For what? The Catholic Church to take over? You can't take it with you. Walk in the light while we still have the light. God will take care of you. I'm not talking to you people. I'm talking to those that listen to the tapes overseas. Again in Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Now, Brother Branham said when their eyes were open, he said, listen, brother, sister, the promised word to be promised to you, and you can see it's the hour for that, but when God reveals it, interprets it, then it's sinful to turn it away. Don't you never do that. God opened his eyes by showing him the manifested word that he had promised, that it would take place. Now, always, he always does the same. He does it. He never changes his system in doing it. No, sir, never. Always the same. He promises scriptures for each and every age. And when he manifests that scripture promise for that age, the people who got their eyes open to see it are the ones who receive it. But how many people won't even open their eyes? Oh, Brother Vale, he preaches two gods because Brother Joe Blow from Arizona told me. Well, brother, why don't you just listen to one of his tapes to see if you hear him preach? I won't touch it. I won't get near it. He preaches to gods. And they won't even open their eyes. They won't open their ears. They won't even use the scriptures and the quotes, which is basically the entire message. So they might as well just go away from the message, find their own messenger, find their own prophet. I think their prophet is spelt with an F and not with a P-H. P-R-O-F-I-T. That's the prophet that they follow. And so they don't have faith. Jesus said, when I come, shall I find faith? And we know there's only one faith. One Lord. That's the faith of that Lord. It's the faith of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. So what is faith? Faith is a revelation. Something that has been revealed to you, and if it has not been revealed to you, then you are without faith, then you are faithless. And that is what these men are who refuse to teach doctrine. Brother Branham said, if a man has not a doctrine, he has not a ministry. So these are men running around, they can shoot their mouths off, but they don't even have a ministry because they refuse to teach doctrine. Brother Brown said, if he doesn't have doctrine, he doesn't. And he said, if the church doesn't have doctrine, it's just a jellyfish. So you don't even have a church if you don't have doctrine. But they say, laying aside the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. And Paul said, no, it's not laying aside the doctrine of Christ. He said, laying aside the principles. The very first things like baptism. You see, the doctrine of Christ, you cannot lay aside because John said, if you don't have it, you don't have God. If you don't have God, you don't have His Spirit, you're not born again. By laying aside the principles, Brother Ransom, the very first thing we understand in understanding the doctrine of Christ is baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, laying again, not doing again, you know, he said, laying aside the doctrine of Christ, or laying aside the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the laying on of hands, baptism, and these things. He said, these things we'll do if God permit. So you see, the laying on of hands, the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are just the principal things. It's like opening the door. You have to open that door to get in the church. If you're just standing in the doorway, you're not in. And if you're outside the door, you say, well, I'm in view of the door. That's fine. You're in view of Christ. That's fine. But have you entered in? You see? Faith is a revelation, something that's been revealed to you. And that is what these men who do not teach doctrine, they don't have faith. God Himself said in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the revelation is that you might do. The passive faith is that you might have active faith. Therefore, the things that are revealed belong unto us, and that is, they are meant to produce something in us. He said that we may do all the words of the law. Now, the word do used here does not necessitate works, but it speaks rather of observing or to attend to in order to acquire, and thus to step forward and to act upon, as Brother Brown preached the message, hearing, recognizing, and what? Upon the Word of God. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word of God. And if we truly do hear, then we will truly recognize. And if we truly recognize, then we will truly act upon what we hear and recognize. And the acting upon shows that we have truly recognized the Word for what it truly is. And that makes the Word manifested to us in a reality, not just some sort of intellectual conception to debate upon. And that's what truth is. Truth is a reality. It's something that's been proven. Truth is an actual thing. It's an actuality. That's why Brother Branham said God interprets His own Word by bringing it to pass. God vindicates it by making it a reality or an actuality. God actualizes His own Word. He brings it to life around you. And then you actually see that Word come to pass. And you know that it is the Word which God had promised in His Word. Then when you see it, it is revealed to you. And when it is revealed to you, it becomes your own. How many of you ever been to a ball game? You might not have participated in the ball game, but being there, you participated in the ball game. You might not have been on the field, but you were there, you saw it, you participated, you gave your cheers or whatever, you entered into the spirit of the thing. And no one can take that memory from you, because you were a part of that happening. And when the Word of God is materialized around you, you are a part of that happening. And the Word of God is a reality. You have been actualized to the Word, and the Word has been actualized to you. Now, the reason that they cannot see the truth is like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. In other words, there is a blindness upon their heart, or rather their understanding has become darkened, as Paul continues to say. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, or the understanding, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The blindness shall be taken away. That's why we read in Revelation 3:18, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now in 2 Corinthians 4:1, Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, in the presence of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There's your Psalms 1. And in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That word face is prosopon. It means a personal presence. A personal presence of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but the excellency of the power of God, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Therefore, we should be able to see that God has come with the purpose to shine forth His light upon the minds of the elect, which He calls His righteous. And by shining the light of His glorious presence upon His righteous, it causes His righteous to be changed from glory to glory, from image to image, from opinion to opinion, from assessment to assessment. What you used to value, you don't value anymore. Like some of you guys, when you were younger, I was the same way. When I was young, 90% of my value was sports. 90% of my time was sports. But when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I did things as a child because I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so you have a different value system than you used to have. And God gave you a few kids and you got buckles you down. You got a different value system than you used to have. You're changing from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion. You see? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all with an open face, an unveiled face, with no criticism, no tradition, no creeds, beholding as in a glass the mirror of the Word, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the same Spirit which we've seen, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, when we pick up the Word of God, this Bible, and we look into it, we no longer see ourselves. We see Christ. And when we see Him, we no longer look. The more we're changed to be like Him. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Why? Why is that, John? For we shall see Him as He is. And seeing Him as He is, it helps you to see who you really are. 1 Corinthians 3:13-9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And there is one perfect, and there is no other perfect. That one perfect is God. Now I know the Pentecostals among us in this message say, when that which is perfect is come, and it's love. And let me tell you something. A vindicated prophet said, when that which is perfect is come, and we have by God's grace the perfect revealed Word. He said that Christian Science can exercise more love than Jesus exercised. He said Jesus, He was a renegade. He went into that temple and He started to beat the people out. I've got a movie I'm giving each of you for Christmas. I'm giving each family. It's the Gospel of John. I want you to watch it and get a chance. And you'll see that Jesus was not some squirrely little guy with, Lord bless you, my brothers, my sisters. Where's the baby so I can kiss them? Jesus went into the temple. And the Bible says, the zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up. Now, if you are eaten up with zeal, what does that do to you? You sit back in your lazy chair? Fold your legs and sip on your mint julep. If you are eaten up with rage, you look like a hysterical fool. You look like a wild man. And that's what Jesus did. He went into that temple and they depicted it very well. And He began to not just tip over. He didn't tip over. He threw over the money changers' tables. He beat them out of the temple. He didn't say, oh, now, snap, snap, you better run, snap, snap, or I'm going to get you, snap, snap. No, He whipped the daylights out of these people. No wonder they wanted to whip Him and scourge Him when they had Him in their grip. It angered them because He was angered to see His house, the house of God, become a money exchange. To become a marketplace, sheep right in the temple. Fowl. That's what birds are called, fowl. Fowl right in the temple. And He went cleaning house. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that right, Paul? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have a whole world, two billion so-called Christians today calling upon the name of the Lord. And we have another 2 billion Muslims calling upon the name of the Lord, their Lord. And we have all kinds of other isms calling upon the name of their Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what Lord can save them? How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? Okay, Paul puts a qualifier here. If they don't really believe when they call, how can they call if they don't really believe? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Of whom? He's talking about one Lord. Of whom they have not heard. Not Hare Krishna and all these other creepy things out there. There's only one God, one true God. And the world is not teaching them. The world is not teaching Him. They are not teaching Him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, we've got lots of preachers out there preaching about their lords, preaching about their gods. But how shall they hear without a preacher? Even though they say they hear, they boast in vain, unless they hear true preachers. For to hear false prophets means as much as not to hear. What difference does it make if you're a Baptist, a Catholic, or a rank heathen? An atheist. Is it better to worship a false god than not to worship anything at all? Well, the atheist worships himself. So he has a god. Sometimes his god is the greenback. It's money. It is to the rank Jew, the reprobate Jew. Even though they say they hear, they boast in vain, unless they hear true preachers, for to hear false prophets means as much as not to hear. They hear and they do not hear. They have ears but do not hear, nor do they preach the word of God. No, they say, we can't have those quotes around here. Get them out. Throw them away. We can't have those scriptures here. Big-time Pentecostal preachers say, well, predestination is a lie from the pits of hell. Okay, rip it out of your Bible then. And they've got a real holy Bible. Hardly anything left in it. Full of holes. They hear, but they do not hear. Nor do they preach the word of God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is directed against all conceited teachers and arrogant instructors. If you will notice, in verse 13 to 15, there are four statements that Paul makes, that of which follow together in such a way that one leads to the other, but so that the last forms the foundation on which all the others rest. Thus we see from what Paul is saying that it is impossible for those who preach who are not sent. Because if God didn't send you, you're running without a message. If God didn't send you, then it's impossible for them to be preaching truth. Because what they're preaching is what they think is right. And there is a way that seems right unto men. But the way thereof is the way of death. I do not believe that the fivefold ministry is capable of running into gross error. I believe the fivefold ministry is ordained from God before the foundations of the world to be a reflector. Now, maybe before they're born again, sure, they won't have the truth. They won't understand the truth. But it's impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the world to come, if they deviate, to come back again. So those who have heard the truth and deviate from it, it's impossible for them to come back to it. They can constantly be repenting with crocodile tears like Esau did, but he found no room for repentance, a change of the heart. People living in the message for 20, 30 years and haven't changed a lick. Haven't changed a lick. Still living with the same unbelief that they had 20 and 30 years ago. So then the entire origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone, a true minister of the Word. If He does not send out any, then they who are preaching falsely, and their preaching is no preaching at all. In fact, it would have been better for them not to preach. Then also they who hear would hear error, and it would be better for them not to hear. Then also they who believe would believe false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to believe. Then also they who call upon Him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to call at all. For such preachers do not preach. Such hearers do not hear. Such believers do not believe, and such callers do not call. And they will all be damned because they would be saved by falsehood. Then we will see what is spoken of in Proverbs 1:28, which says, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord." Wow, pretty strong stuff, Paul. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Verse 16, "For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" The Lambda translation and the Rotherham translation says, "Lord, who hath believed our message?" Or the message. The NIV says, "Who has believed the message?" So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The true, revealed, and vindicated Word of God. So when you see when Brother Branham says, this is the truth, this is true what I'm telling you. He said, you would think, as great a thing as this is, the whole world would be enthroned and just enthralled by it. But he said, it's never been that way. God has selected out a few from before the foundations of the world to receive the truth. And all others will perish. Then can you see the importance this morning of receiving a vindicated ministry? Because if it is not vindicated, then how do you know what you're hearing is not error? And if it is error, then you would be believing error. And if you believe error, then you would be calling out to a wrong God. And if you call out to the wrong God, how could you be saved? Therefore, God has come down to vouchsafe His own presence among us. We know that we are the elect of God because He said so to a vindicated vessel. It is not just something we read in a book, but God Himself has come down and has spoken through the lips of His prophet, whom He has vindicated, and that is what I'm standing on this morning. We have thus saith the Lord. I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. And Jeremiah 23 and verse 4 says, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So one evidence that you're being fed by God is that you have no more fear. He said, "I've given them a spirit of love and of a sound mind, not a spirit of fear." And in Ezekiel 11, verse 19, "And we," let's read it, "and I will give them one heart That means one understanding. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. Now, how are you going to come to one understanding unless you receive one mind? Jeremiah 32, verse 39, and I will give them one heart, one understanding, and one way. Remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And Jeremiah 24 and verse 7, and I will give them an heart. That's one heart. And, A-N, speaks of one. I will give them one understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart, with their whole understanding. And that one understanding is the revelation of Jesus Christ, for there is one Lord and one faith, and faith is the revelation. Therefore, there is but one revelation of Jesus Christ, and therefore one doctrine of Christ, and if you do not have that doctrine of Christ, you don't even have God. That is what John said, and if you do not have God, then you do not have His Spirit, and if you do not have His Spirit, then you're not even born again. You have no hope. So I go around the world because God showed me that there's a need for these meetings. And He has opened the door for these meetings, and He has closed doors to where He doesn't want me to go. And He has opened doors where He wants me to go. And so I don't worry because, to be honest, I don't like to travel. And you almost have to be insane to like to travel. I would rather stay home and sail my boat. I'd rather stay home and go golfing, play tennis, and do some things to bring rest to my weary body than to run around the world and put up with a bunch of unbelieving ministers trying to lay traps for things that you say to embarrass you or to try to trip you up. I would rather have a church that was large enough to support me in the ministry so I wouldn't have to work two jobs. So I could stay and be a shepherd and give love and receive love and not have to take on my shoulders the burden of the entire world as far as the doctrine of Christ goes. Because that burden was upon Brother Vail at one time. Brother Vail told us just 2 weeks ago, I think you were there, Adam. He said, my ministry is over. He said, I may have one more sermon. He's told me that for several years now. And God has placed that burden for His kids, His seed, to understand what it means to be a son of God. To understand that we have a relationship. We have a role to play. We have a responsibility to other sons and daughters. And I don't see anyone else going to where the brethren are crying out in the Spirit for God to bring them to the stature of sons of God. I see them going where it's convenient. I see them going to the nice places that you can have a nice hotel and you can have water that you can drink and not have to worry about getting sick to your stomach. Where they'll pay your way. Yeah, they still run there. But I only wish others would share this burden because it's made me very old, very fast. But as I said to my loving father before I began, some 6 years ago, to wake up the virgin sleeping around the world to the doctrine of Christ, I told some of you here that I wouldn't go certain places. And then God rebuked my lazy heart. You know, I enjoyed going to Norway and Sweden. Pretty nice place. They paid your ticket, paid your way over, took care of you while you're there. But I said I wouldn't go to certain places, and God rebuked me. He has opened up the entire world in the last 6 years to the doctrine of Christ. 85% of the nations, 162 of the 190, have been opened up to the doctrine of Christ. And all I can say is, that's God. Because it's taken 45 years for just about the same amount of countries, a few more, for the books and tapes to make their way around the world. But I won't go where He doesn't send me. And when we go, we minister to the needs of the people. Your brothers, your sisters. When someone says, well, I go to church, therefore I'm your brother. No, you're not my brother. I'm sorry. But if we have the same Father, you're my brother. If we have the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, we are truly brothers, more than we are in the flesh. We are in our soul, and that's what counts. And when the light strikes upon that truth, it brings forth the manifestation of the covenant of God to His people. And in examining this principle of truth that Brother Branham established here this morning, we know that the opposite of truth is falsehood. And if we are not in the truth, then we are in falsehood. Now, if you all recall, God has set upon us in this hour His divine covenant. And we saw in our study of the rainbow covenant that trueness is represented by the color blue. But it takes the light upon the rain to bring into manifestation the rainbow. And we know the rainbow represents the covenant of God brought into manifestation by the light of His glorious presence. And when the light strikes the rainbow comes into view. And when the light strikes the doctrine of Christ, then all the divine promises of God concerning His Son come into view as well. And in Deuteronomy, God tells us that His doctrine shall fall as the rain. So God likens His doctrine to the rain. And now you cannot have a rainbow without having light strike that rain. So light upon the doctrine will bring into manifestation all the divine promises of God to us in this hour. God's covenant comes into manifestation because of the light upon the doctrine. And it is presented to those who are walking in the light and the rain, which is the doctrine. So if you have the light but no rain, no doctrine, you don't have the covenant of God in view. But if you have the doctrine and you have the light of God upon that, now you've got a rainbow. Now you can actually see the sevenfold covenant of God. Brother Ram said, red is love. He said, blue is trueness. He said, green is everlasting life. He said, gold are the trials and testings, but it's also deity. To where He can see His own image in us. So He beats on that gold and beats and beats and beats on it. That's their testings, trials. But it's for the purpose of being approved. We find the purple speaks of royalty and the different colors and combinations. Brother Brown said, the blue and the rainbow represents the trueness of God, for God is not a man that He should lie. So what is truth? Truth is a statement that has been proven to be true. Truth is a reality. Truth is an actuality. Truth is that which was hidden becoming known. God's Word is truth. Brother Ram talked about John the Baptist and how he did not care what people thought, but rather he only cared what God thought and what God wanted him to say. From the events made clear by prophecy, Brother Ram said, how he knowed where he was standing. He knowed exactly. He'd heard from God, and it was exactly with the Word, so he didn't care what people said. He preached it and prophesied it anyhow. And watch, when a man stands for what is truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that man the truth. So truth is a statement that has been proven to be true. Truth is a reality. Truth is an actuality. And therefore, what could show truth more than God vindicating His Word to be true? From trying to do God a service without it being His will, Brother Brown said, the Lord your God has declared unto you what truth is. The Lord your God has vindicated what truth is by His Word and by His Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by My Spirit. And the Spirit of God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and truth. Thy Word is truth. And He's thoroughly vindicated that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He showed the evening seeds to you. He's revealed it to you in His Word. He's proven it to you by His Spirit. We find also in 1 John 1, 2 and verse 21, he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So how could these men say that they believe the truth when they lie deliberately and say, Brother Vail and I are preaching two gods? And when John says, no lie is of the truth. Jesus said of them in John 8, 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the lies they speak on their own have to be from their own, because it cannot be God's words. Because God is not a man that he could lie. God is not a man that he could lie, and if they were God's words that these men are speaking, then they would not be lies. And they would have to be speaking truth. But since they have manifested themselves that what they are telling others are indeed lies, then they have also at the same time manifested themselves that they do not speak God's word. And if not God's words, then therefore they must be essentially speaking lies. Because if it's not the truth, it's an error. It's a lie. And if they were speaking the truth, then they would love me. They'd love Brother Vail. For as Jesus said, my Father sent me to teach what he commanded his prophet to teach. He said, if they were of God, he said, they would love me because I came from God. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your own souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And Brother Branham said that you that love this word ought to love one another. How you ought to love one another. And John said, hereby we know that we are of God, that we do love one another. And if you love one another, you won't go around lying about one another. And you won't go around saying lies about what Brother Branham taught either, showing that you do not believe him to be God's prophet. In fact, that is what Paul said in Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, and sin is unbelief, so if we disbelieve willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your unbelief. But as it was in Alpha, so must it be in Omega. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now to resist means to stand against it. So these are men of corrupt minds, destructive minds, reprobate concerning the faith, rejected and castaways concerning the faith or the revelation of Christ. But they keep listening to tapes. They say all that the prophet says, but do they? 2 Timothy 3 and 7 says they're ever learning. But they are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because truth is a reality. And this reality comes via revelation, which only comes from God. But because they do not love the truth, God sends them a deluding influence that they might believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, or the lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you see how important it is to believe the truth. If you don't love it, God will send you a strong delusion. There'll be something that'll pack you out of here. There'll be something that'll take you away from this message. And that is why they go off into heresies, such as Paul said that they would. In 2 Timothy 2:18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And can you believe, but right in this message, there are men who teach that the millennium is already on. Well, if this is the millennium, they can have it. As I said to the brothers over there, because they're teaching it over there in Africa, the false brethren. And I said, if this is the millennium, you can have it. You still got lions killing people. You still got, instead of the lion laying down with the lamb, and you've got malaria. And you've got man against man taking sticks and taking machetes and hacking people up over here. And that's the millennium? That's all the better God can do? What kind of a God are you serving if that's the millennium? And if this is the millennium, then I don't want it. just let me die and rot and never come up again. Because if that's all the best God can do, like Paul said, if there be no resurrection, we might all just go out and get drunk. That's what Paul said. Just live and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Brother, sister, we have a resurrection coming on down the road very soon. We have new bodies that are going to be changed. You know, at the age of 16 to 20, you all may be liking your body. But wait till you get up in your 50s and 60s. You're not so happy with it anymore. It starts happening somewhere in your 30s. By the time you hit your 40s, you're dragging places that you didn't think could drag. You got things that you can't tuck in anymore. They just want to hang. You have Dunlop disease. Things start to Dunlop over. I need a body change. I know a lot of you agree with me. We need a body change. And we have things to look forward to. This is not the millennium. No ways near. We're looking for a resurrection. We're looking for the voice, the same voice that raised Lazarus from the grave. Not the voice of the Son of God. It was the voice of God in the Son. Because the voice of the Son of God, He wept. And Jesus wept. That was the man. But when He put back those stooped little shoulders and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Brother Branham said, that was more than a man. That was a God in the man. And that's what I'm looking for. But if we are the elect, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 8, "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth." And Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." 2 Corinthians 4 and 2, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." 1 John 2 and 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." 1 John 1 and verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." 1 John 1 and 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." James 5:19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, he saves him from a multitude of sin." James 3:14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." We could go on and on and on with scripture after scripture. I've got several pages, just scriptures here, but we'll just close. We have a very, very simple statement Brother Branham made to us. He said, "This, what I'm telling you, these things are true. My ministry is to declare Him that is true, that He is here." Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for the truth. And knowing that anything outside of the truth is error, it's falsehood. Your truth is a reality. Your truth is a vindicated, proven reality. It's an actuality. Then that which is not truth is nothing but an illusion, a falsehood. So, Father, we pray that You would watch and guide us. We know, as Your prophet said, the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. Therefore, we ask to be led. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious.
gracious to you. The Lord make